This week there's been a lot of debate, if you've picked up on it, about dress code at work. Parliament held an inquiry into dress codes in the workplace following reports that a woman was sacked for not wearing high heels. More than 150,000 people signed a petition in support of this London receptionist, Nicola Thorpe, who was sent home from work after refusing to wear high heels. Miss Thorpe arrived at her company to be told that she had to wear shoes with a 2-inch to 4-inch heel. And when she refused and complained that male colleagues were not asked to do the same, she was sent home without pay. The argument for wearing the heels was that it would make her more smart and glamorous, especially if she was the first face of the company when visitors came into the building. Whether this woman feels that is anyone's guess, and does a lower pair of heels really make that difference as people are coming into the building? There's something about clothing, the clothing that we wear, that has an impact on the way that we feel about ourselves. Most schools have a uniform. The uniform is usually very simple, a jumper or a cardigan and a shirt with a logo on it and a certain style of and colour of trousers and skirt. When one school moved from wearing casual clothes to uniforms, it found that there was a change in their students' behaviour. They were calmer. They were better behaved. Was it the uniform that made the difference? Maybe. A lot of teachers thought it was. There's a dynamic relationship between what you wear and who you are, what you are. If you're a Scot, put on a kilt and you feel connected to your heritage and your ancestors. And if you're not, then you feel an idiot. Put on a uniform, a police uniform, and no matter who you are, you probably suddenly project an air of authority. Put on a nurse's uniform and you project something that enables people to trust you, even though they may never have met you. As the old saying says, the cloth maketh the man or the woman. And Paul would agree. He tells the Colossians to put on a very specific style of uniform. He begins by telling us that there is a unity in the church. Paul said it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slaved or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. He could have been preaching to us here. There's no Anglo or African. There's no black or white. There's no white-collar worker, blue-collar worker. There's no Scot, no English, no German, no African. But Christ is all and is in all. Christians are united in such a way that no matter what else divides us, Christ unites us. Paul tells the Colossians that Christians should be united. And then he tells us to put on the uniform, the dress code. Clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. The dress code of the Christian is a set of attitudes. Now, when we clothe ourselves, we project an image. And Paul wants us to project an image as we clothe ourselves with these attitudes. So there are five main items in the Christian wardrobe: tender-hearted mercy or compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And we could go through each of these five items and study it and unravel it. We could learn a lot about how to live the Christian life. In fact, we could spend weeks on compassion. We could spend months on kindness. We could spend a lifetime on humility. Of course, we probably spend only 10 minutes on patience because we're in too much of a hurry. But if you look at each one of these items that Paul says we need to clothe ourselves in, they all boil down to one uniform, one dress code, and that's love. Every one of these items is simply a characteristic of love. And of course, in the well-known love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, the subject of that chapter is love. Paul begins this great chapter by saying, if I speak in the language of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And Paul continues by talking about the importance of love. Love is central to everything in the gospel. You cannot live the Christian life without living a life that seeks to master the ability to love other people, to love thy neighbor. It's central. When Jesus was asked, what are the two greatest commands? Of course, his answer was love. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. When the apostle John was an old man, perhaps the last living apostle, he lived in Ephesus, and legend has it that the people of that church would often invite him to speak. And this old man who knew Christ personally in the flesh could have risen to share some parable that is not recorded in the gospel. John could have told about a miracle that the gospel writers did not mention. But no, instead, at the end of his life, the only thing that this man found worthwhile to preach about was one little sentence sermon. Love one another. Love is what our lifestyle as Christians ought to be about. And of all these garments, Paul tells the Colossian church to clothe themselves in. Each one is nothing more than a simple expression of love. Tender-hearted mercy, compassion, for example, is the ability to care for someone. The only way to truly care for someone is to love that person at some level. If you don't love that person, then you don't care what happens to them. In many ways, this text is a reflection of Paul's letter to Corinthians. In verse 5 of that chapter, he says that love is not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. If you want to live the Christian life, you have to live a life of love. And one way to live a life of love is to have compassion. Another thing that Paul says in Colossians is that we should clothe ourselves with kindness. In the Corinthians, the verse 4 says, love is kind. We've all heard the phrase random acts of kindness, haven't we? But we live in an age of random acts of violence. We've just seen in the news this week in Birmingham of this random stabbing on a bus. However, in recent years, some people have nurtured this phrase, random acts of kindness. And it could be as simple as letting someone pull in front of you in the supermarket queue. Compassion is the feeling of love for someone. Kindness is doing something loving to someone. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells about the judgment day. He talks about how God will separate the people like a shepherd separates sheep and goats. And Jesus says, God will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Now contrast that with an interesting writing I came across recently, and it says this: I was hungry, and you formed a humanities club and discussed my hunger. I was imprisoned, and you crept off quietly to your chapel and prayed for my release. I was naked, and in your mind you debated the morality of my appearance. I was sick, and you knelt and thanked God for your health. I was homeless, and you preached to me of the spiritual shelter of the love of God. I was lonely, and you left me alone to pray for me. You seem so close to God, but I am still very hungry and lonely and cold. In other words, love needs more than feeling, compassion. It needs action or kindness. Compassion and kindness are both expressions of love, but love needs both. Paul tells us to clothe ourselves with certain items. He describes a dress code of love. For those of us who wear uniforms and we forget the badge or the tie, it's incomplete. I remember one day going to a funeral wearing my uniform. And I sat in the funeral and I had my legs crossed and looked down at my shoe of my crossed leg and thought, I don't remember putting those shoes on this morning. But anyway, I didn't think anything of it. A few minutes later, I felt a bit fidgety, so I uncrossed my legs and crossed them the other way. And I looked down at my foot and I thought, but I did put those shoes on this morning. And when I looked at both of them, it turned out that I'd put two odd shoes on. my outfit was incomplete. I was wearing two different shoes. I felt really self-conscious for the rest of the time I was wearing my uniform. Imagine wearing the uniform of the Christian but forgetting to clothe yourself in kindness. You can have all the compassion in the world, but if you don't show it with kindness, you're out of uniform. And then in Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 and 5, it says, love does not boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking. Now in our reading from Colossians, one of the items in our wardrobes is humility. Now what is humility? Well, it's not boasting, it's not being proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking. In other words, by looking at 1 Corinthians 13, humility is an expression of love. What is humility? It's knowing your place in life. It's putting God first. It's putting others above yourself. This week was Holocaust Remembrance Day, and one of the most powerful prayers in the midst of suffering I've read was uncovered by the horrors of Ravensbrück concentration camp. And Ravensbrück was a concentration camp built in 1939 for women. Over 90,000 women and children perished there. 90,000. Corrie ten Boom, who wrote The Hiding Place, was imprisoned there too. And the prayer found in the clothing of a dead child said this: O Lord, remember not only the men and women of goodwill, but also those of ill will. But do not remember all of the suffering they have inflicted upon us. Instead, remember the fruits we have borne because of this suffering: our fellowship, our loyalty to one another, our humility, our courage, our generosity, the greatness of heart that has grown from this trouble. When our persecutors came to be judged by you, let all of these fruits that we have borne be their forgiveness. Talk about an example of humility, placing others above self. Yes, even those who have wronged us. Yes, even those who have wronged us. And if you don't have humility, you're out of uniform as a Christian. Back then to Corinthians 13, verse 5 says that love is not rude. Now, if you are not rude, what are you? You're gentle. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. Firing an employee is one of the toughest jobs a supervisor ever faces. And an insurance sales manager was known for his tact and diplomacy. One of his young salesmen was performing so badly that he had to be fired. The manager called him in and said, son, I don't know how we're ever going to get along without you, but starting Monday, we're going to try. And that, my friend, is gentleness. Unfortunately, in today's society, it's the thing to be rude and upfront. In television and radio, it's what gets higher ratings. Instead of letting our gentleness be evident to all, we let our rudeness be evident to all. And that's not wearing this outfit that Paul talks about. If you're rude rather than gentle, people won't notice any kind of kind acts. They'll not care about how compassionate you are. They'll simply be aware of how rude you are. And that's, there is something in your uniform that does not belong. Paul tells us, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and finally, he says, patience. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, the first three words, love is patient. I want you to picture in your mind a person you have been patient with this week. Could be anybody, someone you know. Someone you know, hopefully. And you can at least picture one person you've been patient with. Get a good picture of that person. Perhaps they're difficult. They're demanding. Perhaps they're inefficient. But you're patient with that person. Now that you have that picture of that person in your mind, think about who it is. It's probably someone that you know and that you care for or love. It could be your child, it could be your husband or your wife, it could be your parents, your friend, it could be a member of your church family. You're patient with these people whom you love because, as 1 Corinthians says, love is patient. And you can't clothe yourself with love without clothing yourself with patience. You want to live the Christian life. then choose to abide by the dress code. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And remember Paul's final remarks about this Christian dress code. In Colossians verse 14, Paul says, "And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." At the end of the day, it's a choice that each one of us have to make every day. I have the choice to put on these clothes. You have the choice to put on these clothes. As we prepare to partner God in his kingdom building this week, what's your choice going to be? What are you going to wear? So what do you choose? What will you choose tomorrow? Let's pray together. Lord, we are so privileged that you have chosen us to be holy people. Thank you for the instruction and resources you give in order for us to live as holy people. Thank you for the new life that we have in you because of Jesus. Thank you for the power that we have to live in this new life because of your Holy Spirit. And tomorrow, as we go about our day, I pray that for each of us, we will choose to live the life you have set out for us. That we will be your witnesses to the people we meet by our compassion, our kindness, our humility, our gentleness and patience. And above all, that we would love as you instructed us to love. Lord, we pray this in the name of your Son, whose sacrificial act on the cross enables us to live new life and live holy lives. Amen. Amen.